Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. There is a listen live stream button right there on the homepage, as well as the chat room at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. You can just Google Vinny Eastwood. That's Vinny with a Y. Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news, and it should turn up for you. My very special guest today is only going to be joining me briefly. I'm sabotaging his fatherly duties here. Is the none other than Freda X from Mid. Middlechamberfx.wordpress.com. And today, ladies and gentlemen, is the precursor to Thanksgiving in the United States. And what I want to do, I've opened up the caller lines, and if I want you to call in today, ladies and gentlemen, and tell me what you're thankful for, all right? If there's anything at all that you're thankful for, please call in. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. All right. So, Freda, welcome to the program. So what are you thankful for?
Well, you know, first of all, let me just say the things that I'm thankful for, I'm thankful for every day, you know, because I'm conscious of how fleeting, precious, and, you know, how life is just something that it's I'm lucky to be here, and everything that's in my life right now, my family, my wife, my children, and my friends, and my new extended family and friends throughout what's happened in the last couple of years. I mean, I'm really thankful for all that, but I really count my blessings daily. It's hard for me to engage in the civic mythology of Thanksgiving that America is trying to foist upon, like, collective consciousness, when I know for a fact not only is America still currently involved in genocidal treatment towards the tribal peoples of America as we speak, but they tacitly support it across the globe with support of, like, the Israeli government doing the same thing to Gaza, or government in your nation of New Zealand, or the governments in Australia, and what they do to the tribals and native peoples there. It's a travesty. And so this whole thing about Thanksgiving and this myth of pilgrim, you know, like the whole idea of like the dinner between the pilgrims and the natives is a joke. Over here, every year, right here in Massachusetts, the Wampanoag and the remnants of the Samoset Indian tribes, that's King Philip's people. You know, you may not have heard of the King Philip's War, Vinny. You ever heard of the King Philip's War?
No.
No, that's the bloodiest Indian battle that occurred in America way back in the 1600s. It were like something like, I don't know, I've heard numbers like 100,000 colonists killed or lost, you know, by Indians attack on the colonies. They finally had turned. They finally had said enough of the betrayals, enough of the lies and the murderous treatment and the stealing of everything and the everything that went on, and they fought back in this King Philip's War. And it was King Metacom was his name. And he was called Philip by the white people, but his name was Metacom. And Massasoit was, I believe, his father or his son. I can't remember the lineage right there, so I'm sorry to not have the facts straight. But the point is that these people still gather to this day at Plymouth Rock and call it the national, you know, universal day of grieving. You know, this is a day of sorrow, the day when, like, you know, the white, you know, the you know, illegal immigrants from European peoples, from the Europe tribes came here.
Well, you know how a lot of people volunteer for, you know, the city mission and things like that so they can serve a nice Thanksgiving meal to the homeless. I was thinking of volunteering and giving them some free smallpox blankets.
Right. You know, dirty blankets. Maybe, I don't know, just tell them to go stand out under the chemtrails a little bit longer than everybody else. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. And that's another thing. The whole, just the systematic genocidal treatment of the tribes people today, going straight back to, you know, the first selection of president in 1877 election cycle, when General Rutherford B. Hayes became the president, even though another man named Samuel Tilden won both the popular and the electoral votes, and yet General Rutherford B. Hayes had the railroad barons' interests in mind, which was to expand America across from sea to bloody sea, you know, oily sea today, right? But inevitably, what was it? It was wipe out all the tribal peoples between here and there, you know, because we've been, I mean, Vinny, you might not, I'm sure it probably was the same for you growing up, but in our school system here and in the kids' today's school system, the whole idea, they're given this civic mythology, this idea that like America was this beautiful giant paradise, empty space, just like empty lot. They had like big signs like space for rent, you know, lease, and it was just one giant land grab. You know, the famous John Wayne in America, one of his quotes was, I have it written down, was something like, you know, the Indians weren't using the land anyways, it's okay that we took it and did it because they weren't properly developing the land anyways, you know, that was his quote, right? I mean, holy, and we don't forget, we also completely exterminated the buffalo, something like 700 million buffalo that we killed completely. So now there's like this small little, you know, population that live in captivity, and there's some wild, I guess, now, but still, it's just, anyways, I'm done ranting.
All right, so we now know what you're thankful for.
Well, I'll tell you what I am thankful for. I'm thankful for the fact that it seems that more people have woken up to these facts. I'm not just whistling in the corner all by myself now. You know, even though the song, which I love, your opening song, you know, everyone's asleep, everyone but me, it really gets my blood going because it feels like I used to feel 10 years ago. Because nowadays, I'm thankful for the fact that nowadays people are listening. They're listening to your show every day. They're listening to you, man. You're a social butterfly. You fly from one microphone to the next, don't you? How many shows you got lined up today, Vinny?
Well, incidentally, I was supposed to have done one before today, but they had technical difficulties, so we had to reschedule it for a couple of weeks. And so basically, today's show, the Vinny Eastwood Show, is the only show I'll be doing today. And then directly after that, I'm off for like 10 days, bro. Apart from on Saturday, Ian R. Crane. I don't know if you know much about him, but he's coming to New Zealand and he's going to be giving 4 90-minute lectures with breaks in between for tea, coffee, and dinner at the Greyland Community Centre. So hopefully I'll be able to be there and film them. The problem being, and also this is something that I'm usually thankful for, whenever I need something, people show up with it, but my camera's gone busted, Freda. So if anybody's listening and they're in New Zealand and they have a camera that I can borrow just for the day or even permanent long-term borrow or anything like that, I'd be very much appreciative so I could actually capture his lectures here. Because otherwise, you know, it's only a couple of hundred people that see something that ultimately thousands, if not millions, should be viewing.
I hear you. Yeah, I mean, let's help Vinny, right? If Vinny needs help with this, I'll tell you that this is our opportunity. Everything that you're doing, man, I envy the free time that you have that I don't because I have 4 children and I have a lot of other responsibilities, you know. But I'll tell you, you are you're a man amongst men, my friend. I love what you're doing. I've got you posted on my blogs. You're from back a few months ago when you're out in the streets with your bullhorn. Are you going to engage in some of that maybe in these 10 days off? Are you going to go stir up some trouble in the streets against the scumbaggery out there or what?
Let's have a look at my schedule. On the December the 8th, I think, there is a massive conference here in New Zealand for the TPPA, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which will be our equivalent of NAFTA or GATT, which will basically erode the entirety of the country's sovereignty out to the globalist and destroy any capacity for what's called New Zealand made. Like, have you ever seen anything stamped that says made in the USA?
Right? Sure.
If New Zealand promotes anything that's New Zealand made on television or in any way, shape, or form, the major corporations that will be benefited by this massive agreement will in fact be able to sue New Zealand for promoting products that are New Zealand made because it's against what? Free trade. And they'll sue them in the World Court, which is managed basically by the World Trade Organization, which only favors the massive corporations, never the governments that they're suing. Hopefully there's going to be a big protest there and we'll shut that down. Difficulty being on the 8th of December, it's a Saturday here in New Zealand, but it means it's Friday in the United States. So I'm not 100% sure if I'll be able to do a show that day. Hopefully I will. The day before that, on the other hand, is a really, really big day for me. I'm doing 2 hours with our good friend Alan Abadesa-Green. And I'm doing 2 hours on the Vinnie Eastwood show with Max Egan. And then I'm doing an hour with Patrick Lynch on the Free Truth show. And then I believe you and I will be doing an hour together with the fabulous Philly-based Mark Passio. So it'll be a big day for me. That's what's that? 6 hours of radio, and that's assuming I don't schedule any more radio appearances that day.
Well, I mean, you know, this is it. This is the time. You're not wasting any time. You're not missing any opportunities. Just get it down on some kind of media, my friend. We'll all be waiting, you know, with bated breath, waiting to watch how you come toe-to-toe, head-to-head with this global scumbaggery, you know? You're one voice in the wilderness, but one of many voices that we're all going to, like a million points of light, we'll all come together.
Well, and that's actually something I wanted to stress to the listeners and indeed my colleagues in talk radio and the quote-unquote truth movement is that I'm being appreciated, I'm being offered opportunities, I am being given donations and subscriptions and things of that nature. And I can only say that the reason why this is all being is because for the first time in my life, since becoming an activist or since being born, really, I'm being treated how I should have been treated all along, with respect and with fun and with camaraderie. And that's what I always really sought out in my life, is to be with and talk to other people that, in essence, in some way, shape, or form, are better than me.
You know, Vinny, I can really relate to what you're saying. It seems like, in many ways, my life is parallel to that. I can agree with you 100% that within the last year or two, I really feel like people have been taking me more seriously in what I've been saying for a decade solid, or if not longer. But it's just that people weren't ready to hear it or whatever you want. You know, I've heard many speculations as to what happened, the conditions that have changed. But in the end, the effect is that people are more open to these ideas. And, you know, while you're throwing around the calendar events, I put a post up in your chat room for the post on my website, which is middlechamberfx.wordpress.com. Sorry for the confusion. Anybody see the video from yesterday where I mispronounced my website? That's middlechamberfx.wordpress.com. But the announcement is for the release of Sync Book Volume 2, which is coming out November 29th, which is in just 8 days. And you can check out on there, you can check out the promotional poster, which was done by our good friend Sonic in Brighton, England, one of the hosts of Type 1 Radio Lounge. And you can see the cover of the book, which is, it's really excellent cover. I'm so excited to be a part of this. So anybody who wants to find out more information about that as well, go over to thesyncbook.com. That's thesyncbook.com. Not unlike the Vinnie Eastwood show.com. So anyways, yeah. I really appreciate you having me on here, and I'd like to stick around. I'll just stay on mute and, you know, keep listening. Might come back into the show. I just have to bounce out and take care of some dinner for my children, and I want to keep listening if that's okay, Vinny.
Well, the segment ends in 2 minutes. You can bounce off right now if you really need to, or just hold on till the break and then just leave it from there. And also, in terms of the Sync book, are there any articles in there about the Titanic or the USS Liberty?
I haven't read the whole book. I wrote 15 pages of it. It's a 500-page book. I'm excited to see what is in there. Just reading the back cover, which is on that little link, if people go to my post there on your chat room, they'll find the write-up. They have a quote from several of the authors. One of them's, excuse me, Anthony Peake. Another UK researcher. Has he been on your show, Vinny? Anthony Peake?
He has. He's on the featured interviews. He was amazing interview.
Well, he's one of the writers of the Sync Book Volume 2 as well.
Yeah, but I completely forget what we actually talked about. I'm interviewing that many people.
You know, it's funny. I'm not surprised, Vinny. It's just a blur, isn't it, for you?
Well, yeah. I mean, and just of late, these last couple of weeks, I've gone from doing an average of maybe 2-3 hours a day to doing an average of 5-6 hours of radio a day. And it's just like from yesterday, we did a full 7 hours, 7 hours of video, 7 hours of audio, all of which, including a couple of short clips and things like that, are already online before my show started today. So, yeah, I make sure that stuff gets done. And we have a caller on the line here, 520 area code. You're on the air now, but we're coming to break. Would you just let us know your first name and the place you're calling from, and we'll get to you, and we'll come back to you after the break, all right?
Yeah, this is Michael Collins from Austin, Texas.
All right, Michael, in Austin, I will come straight back to you right after the break at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. And also, ladies and gentlemen, please call in and add yourself to the queue. The number is 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. Freddie, thanks for joining me. We'll see you again. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show, and we have two callers on the line here. Both have been hanging on for a statistically long period of time. So firstly, we're going to go to Michael in Austin, Texas, where the American Freedom Radio Studio lives. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, Vinny, how are you doing?
Somewhat fabulous, thankful, and sleep-deprived all at the same time.
Great. It's a pleasure speaking with you.
So what are you thankful about this holiday season?
Well, my Obama phone.
Yeah. There got to be something to that.
No. Well, where I come from, and I just wanted to chime in on your topic, being a patriot and living in this country, gratitude, what I'm grateful for, all that. Gratitude is an action. You know, you show your gratitude by getting into action. And I don't know if I'm really grateful for anything other than having the opportunity to be of service to restoring the prosperity of the Republic. And, besides that, you know, it's just another day to be alive. It's a good topic. It was cheesy enough and hokey enough that I'd call in. Sometimes I think, a lot of our European cousins in England and Australia and New Zealand, they kind of look at Americans and they think we're all a bunch of inbred, fluoride drinking retards that really don't have a clue. And we're actually working really hard to stay active, and the movement is accelerating, and I wanted to say that I think that American Freedom Radio, I've been, I kind of have moved over from InfoWars, which is, just kind of like, an every once in a while kind of diet of information, because, I think that, some of the news that they get is up to date, but it's definitely been falling off the cusp, and it's been getting pretty kind of cloaking the Zionist agenda, in which I can't tolerate. So I jumped over to Republic Broadcasting Network, and I'm not sure if I'm really agreeing with what I'm hearing there. But I want to compliment you folks over at American Freedom Radio. I think you guys are really going to start becoming more my home, for my Monday through Friday day-to-day stuff. You guys got a lot of good shows, a lot of good hosts, even though you guys have some opening in your schedules. But you guys are doing a great job, and if anything, I'm grateful for American Freedom Radio. So, Vinny, I love your show. I love your style. I love your enlightened approach towards genocide. And I'm looking forward to seeing your career blossom, and good luck to you, and take care.
Well, thank you very much, Michael, for your call, man. And, I got to also weigh in here and give thanksgiving to American Freedom Radio. Just a bunch of awesome dudes. We're going to go to our next caller now. 843 area code. You're on the air. I'd love your first name and perhaps the state that you're calling from. You're on the air. Caller in the 843 area code. I can kind of hear you rustling around in the background there. You're on the air, man. Hello, speak up. Apparently not. Okay, then. Well, anyway, let's talk about American Freedom Radio for just a minute here, because ultimately I think that there's a dangerous sort of element within the truth movement, more or less a propensity to stop people actually wanting to contribute, as in, like, they get burnt out at certain periods of time, and then they just kind of stop doing the work. And what I'm really grateful for American Freedom Radio is last week I get this email. There won't be any broadcasts on this Thursday or Friday or on American Freedom Radio. No live broadcasts because we're taking Thanksgiving off. When I got that email, it meant I had two less shows to do this week. I was like, yes, yes. Oh, God, this is freaking awesome. Holiday. you know, that's basically my perspective of it. Now, I want to see if I can get back to that caller. Are you there? 843 area code? Is that my 843-926 something? Come on, we can hear you breathing on the line, man. Silly person. Okay. 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. 8525 is the number to call, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call in and tell me what you're thankful for. And, yeah, man, holidays, you got to love it. Mostly in this particular field, right, holidays are so essential because you get really, really burned out. And the reason for my absolute need and desire, and the reason why I was so ecstatic to be given the next 2 days off, is I wanted to take the last week of November off. So next week I won't be live either. So I'm going to be organizing the best of the best of the best. The last couple of months, we've had more A-list guests after A-list guest, time after time. And it's going to be difficult to find you the best of the best because they're all so fracking good. They're all available for free. And if you subscribe for $5 a month at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, we will even send you links so you can download the commercial-free versions of every single show that I do. That includes my shows on American Freedom Radio, and that includes my shows on other networks as well. I record the stream and cut out the ads and things like that. So the subscribers, basically, it saves you an awful amount, a large amount of time. Like yesterday, I think I was on Orion Talk Network for 2 hours, and after cutting out the ads, there was only an hour and 20 minutes of real, actual talk. And I suppose if I cut out the musical intros and something like that, it'd be close to, I don't know, an hour and 10 minutes of real, actual talk. So I like commercial-free radio because of the fact that, well, essentially, it's... saves you a lot of time, really. I mean, if you add up the amount of time that you would perhaps be listening to me on American Freedom Radio, if you're listening 5 days a week, by the end of the week, you would have saved yourself, what, 2.5 hours by listening to the commercial-free archives. 2.5 hours a week, 10 hours a month. They save you 10 hours of listening time for $5 in a month. And the flip side is, hey, you can... contribute to me, and essentially, I will just keep on working and working and working. You know, have I not proven that anybody who's ever donated to me, I've send them an email and just say, thank you so much. The best things in my life have always been given to me. Now, I'm serious about that. The T-shirt that I'm wearing right now is like, you know, the WWF logo, the little panda? Well, I've got one that says WTF, and it says the little panda with one eyebrow raised. And that was given to me by one of my listeners who joins us on the Skype chats after the show sometimes, named the Grim Truther. And he does a little T-shirt printing business and stuff like that. And he not only gave me this T-shirt, he gave me a number of them. And I was standing outside the other day with my mate Jono, trying to take pictures of me wearing all of these different T-shirts. It was a beautiful day. We had a nice, lush New Zealand bush kind of background on it. We're going to hopefully sell those T-shirts off the websites. But then my camera failed. Not only did it kind of fail on the batteries, like the battery would just go dead. And I'm just like, okay, change the battery. That goes dead. And then I go, okay, let's plug it into the wall. Doesn't go dead. And we record and we take pictures and stuff like that. Every time we took a picture, it went dead. You have to reset it. And then when we recorded in HD, so, and then I could just like take screenshots off of it. When I came back to plug it into the computer to download the footage, there was nothing there. Nothing. So my camera's dead. I've got E&R Crane to film on Saturday. Should probably be taking all this off, but you know, you've got to sacrifice where you can, essentially, for the people who need you. So if somebody is able to donate a significant amount so I can perhaps purchase a new camera. I think it only costs like about less than $200 to get a cheap HD camera with an audio jack or whatever. Be nice and easy. So if anybody's able to hook me up with that, please do at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and click the donate button or what have you. And the other element here is, you know, what else am I thankful for? I'm thankful to Susan Borho, who has a little banner on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com for longevity products. And she donates me a portion of her sales every month, of which I just got this morning. And I was wondering how in the heck I was going to pay my internet bill that's going to come in this week. And then her contribution came in, and suddenly I knew how I was going to pay my internet bill. You know, that's really brilliant. So thank you, Susan. And there's a lot of subscribers as well. I mean, people who are donating the $5, $10, $20 a month and things like that. It just keeps rolling in, regardless of how much or how little work that I do. And it means that the general stress that I felt starting off doing this was mostly financially based. You know, if you're broke ass and you don't know how you're going to feed yourself, regardless of whether or not you have enough food that day or whether or not you have enough money that day, the tenseness that you feel about tomorrow, excuse me, really kills you. And that's something I'm so grateful to the listeners for. Every day I kind of just sitting back in awe about how much people appreciate what I do. And it's never happened to me before. My entire life I felt really underappreciated, ultimately. And It's only now that I've kind of been doing this for like close to 5 years, essentially, that I'm now seeing a real physical, financial, emotional support network that has just seemed to prop up. And that's what I really appreciate. And I'm thankful for, essentially, because I could not do this on my own. I mean, sure, I'm doing all the radio shows and editing and videos and all that kind of stuff by myself, and nobody gives me a hand with that. But if I also had to go out still and do filming gigs and things like that, and getting paid $100 to do a dance party or whatever, I would be incapable, more or less, of doing it right. You know, this is a full-time job, I've realized. And this is a realization that just hit me yesterday. I can't do anything else but this now. You know, I tried earlier on in my career to have, you know, Guerrilla Media Mr. News on Facebook and my other account, Vincent Christopher John Eastwood. And that's my personal account for family and friends that I know in real life kind of thing. And you know what? I never check my personal stuff. I'm only really ever checking my my one on Guerrilla Media, because I think I've started to get the point now that this is actually my career. This is my magnum opus, my life's work. And to be able to do this, specifically because of the opportunities that have been given to me by other people, is so mind-blowingly uplifting that even with my eloquent vocabulary, I'm not sure how to express in words, you know? It's freaking awesome, bro. You know, I got heaps of listeners who run around to, who come round to my place when I'm feeling down and give me a pie or whatever. Thank you so much. You know, it may not seem like a whole lot to you to give me like $5 or whatever, but it means a hell of a lot to me, a hell of a lot, because it's a lot of pressure, and every person that's underneath this big jackboot of scumbaggery who's helping me push it off makes my job half as difficult, just for one other person helping to push this jackbooted thug of scumbaggery off of us. You know, that's brilliant. Fracking brilliant. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. From the bottom of my heart and the cockles beneath that. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. Please call in and tell us what you're thankful for this Thanksgiving weekend. Johnny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And what I found interesting, and you have a look at the listen live streams at AmericanFreedomRadio.com, is just how many people from different countries tune into this show. Like at the moment, we've got people from Ireland, Australia, Finland, Canada, and the US. And that's just on the American Freedom Radio streams. I would hazard a guess. There's a hell of a lot of different other countries and things like that, that have tuned in before or after, or you know, this is really really a global show. And I want to actually take calls from everybody, because you know how it's Thanksgiving weekend in the United States, right? Well, I think that giving thanks for what the heck is in any way good for you today is a practice that more people should adopt. Ultimately, you know, what are you happy about? What are you thankful about? We all know what the hell we're frustrated about, and we're really frustrated about it, and we get angry all the time because there's so much scumbaggery all over the place, just absolutely messing with our minds and our families and our democracy, our democracies, you know. Democracy, you know. It's a demon system in government. You love that. And I got this other idea, right, is that not only have you got to really be thankful about all the stuff that's good, even if it's a minuscule little thing, if you're thankful about today, 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525, even if it's just one tiny little thing that you're thankful about, but also I'm cognizant of the fact that you've got to be thankful about all the horrible stuff that happens to you that made you who you are. I'm thankful that I got arrested when I was 19, when I was selling weed as a student. You know, who doesn't sell weed as a student? I'm thankful that the police made up evidence against me. I'm thankful that I had to do 300 hours of community service for causing no harm and damaging nobody's property. I'm thankful that I'm monstrously in debt for going to university for a degree that I never got, that I don't want. I'm thankful for having been fired thrice from a high achieving position in three telcos, one after the other. Well, actually, it's the third one I quit, because by then I was sick of getting fired. You know, I'm thankful for these horrible things. Why? Because they made me who I am. You know, I'm not dead, am I? I may be damaged, but I'm still alive. And that's ultimately what I'm really grateful for at the end of the day. The fact that all these horrible things happened to me, but I survived them. And I just kept getting better. You ever been in a point in your life where you suddenly realize, hey, I'm at the top of my game. I'm doing better than I've ever done at anything. You ever been in that position in your life before? I'm not sure if many people have, or maybe for many people those instances come and go. But it's like every day doing this radio broadcast, to be able to speak with you, is like the best day of my life. It's each day is better than the one that came before it. And the first day of my show was the best day of my life. So every time I get to talk with you, that's on the best day of my life. You know? Mate, is that not something to be extremely grateful for? Simply the opportunity. How honored am I to be the only New Zealander with an American-based talk radio show? How honored am I that my YouTube channel has just recently gone over 1 million views on the videos? How honored am I that the who's who of the truth movement are on my featured interviews page at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com? How honored am I to be on the G. Edward Griffin's Hall of Honor in 12th position? How honored am I that I was the only cameraman to be invited and stay at the Colorblind Party conference held by our guy. How honored am I that a page and a half article was done in the Waikato Times about me? You know? And these are all things that have happened just recently. That's just my recent achievements. You know? I feel like I've suddenly become in sync with the universe. And everything has gotten a hell of a lot easier. Like, I did 7 hours of radio yesterday and did about 8 hours of editing. You know how difficult that was? It wasn't at all. Speaking with other radio show hosts and great guests and the listeners and having Skype calls with them and the conference chats and everything that we have. My God. It's awesome. Cause you know, when you start out being a truther, you think that you're all alone. And only now have I gotten the evidence that I am not all alone at all. I've got everything that I could ever dream coming at me, and it just keeps getting better. I don't know how long I can keep up this rant on that by myself. So the number's 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. I'd really love it if you could call in, kind of bail me out of on radio here, because despite the fact that it wasn't that hard, the body knows when it hasn't had enough sleep, and I have not had enough sleep. I think maybe 5 hours. My average when I have a good night's rest is around about 7.5, 8 hours sleep kind of thing. So I'm not feeling the best, the brains and the clicky cells and the synapse ain't frickin' firing the way that they should be. So when you want to call in, that'd be nice. The other element to this sort of brazen self-promotional period that I'm kind of putting on here, you know, listing the recent achievements and whatnot, is the fact that I didn't need any other help, kind of on a technical side of things, in order to get all this accomplished. I just took personal responsibility and just made it happen. You know, I was listening to American Patriot Radio. That's what kind of woke me up. And by American Patriot Radio, I don't mean the actual network American Patriot Radio. I'm talking about Americans who are patriots who have radio shows, kind of thing. And I realized that everything that was going on in the United States was actually going on here, but there was no radio show host here talking about it. There was no YouTube channel putting out regular videos on it. There was no in-depth interviews. There's nothing. Alternative media in New Zealand practically is non-existent. If you're in the States, on the other hand, you have umpteen different choices. You know, it's the land of opportunity, and you have the opportunity to go out and listen to whoever you want. And the fact that you're listening to me right now blows me the frack away. Okay, now, my opinion of myself, honestly, really honestly, this is the best radio show in talk radio. I've listened to it, the episodes, and it's so easy to listen to. It's fun. It's cool. You know, and you get really amazing top-notch guests and whatnot. So, call in, ladies and gentlemen, over the break. Hold on that line if you want, but when we come back in about 4 minutes or so, I will be taking your calls, 218-339-8525. I'd love it if you called in from the States. I would love it if you called in from England or Canada or New Zealand or Australia or Brazil or wherever the heck you are. Fracking, call in to the show. I want to talk to you. I want to have some fun. You know, I want to expand the reach of this radio show so that more people can actually benefit from the knowledge that these guests actually put out, and the wealth of experience I've found with the listeners who have been listening to talk radio for 20 years and now kind of religiously listen to this. Man, they've got a lot of knowledge, and they really care about what happens to the United States, and so do I. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. One of our listeners, Sean, has been blocked from the chat room for some reason. I don't know why that is. Hopefully he can still listen in on the live streams. But I wanted to cover a little bit of New Zealand news and get this ball rolling here, because this is the thing. When you're talking about Thanksgiving, you know, this is what I'm thankful for: tyranny, because it gives me so much to comment on. For instance, dig this: three headlines. Okay, rapist gets 16 years for degrading ordeal. A man who subjected a woman to an overnight pack rape in a garage has been sentenced to 16 years in prison. Right, and then the next one is fatal stabber sentenced to life. So people treat murder a lot more seriously than pack rape, because somebody died as opposed to somebody's entire life being destroyed and never being able to recover from it. Oh, you're still alive, but you're damaged for the entirety of your life, and you'll never be able to trust men again, and you'll be traumatized. All right, that's not that bad. And just last night I saw a documentary about this New Zealand investment banker who swindled $18 million about freaking like $9 million of which he spent on freaking escort services, you know, and he gets 6 years. You know, it's insane. Justice system. You know, I think that's why they call it the criminal justice system, because it's just criminal. It's insane. And being a New Zealander, you know, you become very, very aware of insanity and just how crazy it is. And mostly the fact so many people don't know where New Zealand is, what New Zealand is, or what a New Zealander can, accent or anything of that nature really looks about. And here's another headline: Kiwi called fat, stupid Australian neighbour fined. A British woman has been found guilty of racially abusing her Kiwi neighbour after calling her a fat, stupid Australian, a UK newspaper reports. Chelsea O'Reilly, who has a dual British-New Zealand citizenship, says she was really insulted by the drunken rant of her of her Czech-born neighbour, Petra Mills, the Daily Mail says. Miss O'Reilly was given a statement to police concerning Mills and her husband when Mills stormed over and began screaming at her on her street in Macclesfield, Cheshire, 300 kilometres north of London, on September the 4th. She called me a stupid, fat Australian because of my accent. There can be some confusion over my nationality. She knew I was from, New Zealand, you know, Miss O'Reilly said. She was trying to be offensive. I was really insulted. And this happens to me all the time, okay? It happened yesterday. It happened on a number of other different shows that I go to that people ask me, so what's it like there in Australia? And I'm not an Australian, for goodness sake. Buy an atlas. Use Google Maps. Something. Understand the difference. There's like a 900 kilometer body of water that separates us. Okay? It'd be like calling somebody who's Californian a Hawaiian. You know, there's a difference, okay? And it's not like being Australian is a bad thing. It's just not being. Yeah, I don't know what I'm getting at here, but still, people just need to work that one out. You know, it's geography. It's not difficult. Two countries, both of them speak English, separated by large body of water. Any map or Wikipedia article will help you. Will help you sort that one out. And I apologise, you know, if anybody thinks I'm insulting them or whatever. But you know, if you're Canadian and you get called American, it's more. Or if you're skinny and you're called fat, or if you're drunk and you're called stoned, you know. There's some funny stuff going on there. And speaking of tyranny and commentary that I wanted to get onto, here's another article. Police blitz targets cell phone use in cars. All right. So, have you crashed into anybody? No. Did you even have a near accident? No. Were you using your cell phone whilst not crashing into people and not causing an accident? Yes. Okay. Guilty. You know, it's such a big issue that we have to have a nationwide blitz. A blitz? Like the Blitzkrieg? Like the lightning war? Like Nazi Germany used against Poland and Russia and France and all of that kind of stuff during World War II? And people don't understand the meanings or ramifications of this message, and why is this such a brilliant idea to just start attacking people who haven't freaking hurt anybody? You know? What do they do? They give you fines. What law made it illegal, okay, to communicate with people while driving, you know, in some way, shape, or form, or to be distracted in any way, shape, or form while driving? I mean, is it illegal to roll a cigarette and drive? No. Is it illegal to play music while driving? No. Is it illegal to have a television in your car? No, but apparently it's illegal to use a cell phone because it's distracting. Am I overreacting? I don't think I am. It's freaking stupid, man. A nationwide police blitz next week will target motorists who flout the cell phone ban while driving. Just what do you mean? We keep doing normal stuff and we ignore your stupid laws that don't make any sense? That don't actually really even protect anybody. Like, look, if you wanted to protect people from premature death, driving isn't really one of the focus areas I put on. If you want to prevent premature death, I think the health sector is the area that I'd probably choose to focus on. Namely, because they are the number one, according to the Ministry of Health, the number three leading cause of death in New Zealand. I think it was like the year after they'd had their funding tripled, they then killed three times as many people as those who died on the roads for drunk driving, speeding, and all manner of other business. If you die on the road or whatever, you're actually three times more likely to die at the hospital from some kind of mishap or psychotropic drug misprescription and what have you, than you are from actually dying on the roads. You know, you're actually more likely to die after you get safely to the hospital than you are dying from getting in a crash on your way to the hospital. You know what I'm saying? It's insane. And the focus that we put on these things, or the focus that the mainstream media rather puts, we don't really have too much of a focus on it. Really, people don't give a frack. You know, speaking of people who don't give a frack, this is an article called "Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid." This is my friend Will Ryan. He sent me this. I had a good conversation with him last night. Said, do not read these if you are of a nervous disposition. Bear in mind they are not yet official Labour Party policy. They are merely up for consideration. But nevertheless, read on with horror what utopia New Zealand is planned by Labour Party grassroots activists, and read their policy remits to be debated at their annual conference. Here's a summary. Nationalisation of any partially sold assets. A financial transactions tax. Require all private boards to comply with a 50% gender quota within 5 years. A universal child benefit so millionaires get paid money for having kids. 52 weeks paid parental leave. Lowering the voting age to 16. A gender quota for the House of Representatives. Compulsory Māori language until the age of 15. End all funding of private schools, which ironically would force them all to be integrated and go from 25% funding to 100%. Ban the food police to school tuck shops. Ban seabed mining for minerals, oil and gas. Ban fracking. A tax on aquaculture, ban all coal mining, a mineral exports tax, ban plastic bags, fund a brand new commercial-free television broadcaster, fund a Pacific television broadcaster, a super gold card for transport for under 21s, a rail link to the airport for Auckland, a petrol tax to fund rail, setting up a state-owned insurance company to compete with private insurers, de facto compulsory unionism by forcing all employees to contribute to the benefits of enterprise and multi-enterprise bargaining, turn contractors into employees, reverse employment law changes and destroy New Zealand as a location for international filmmaking, ban companies that do not pay a living wage, which is much more than minimum wage, from winning government contracts. Compulsory worker representation on large company boards. Direct Kiwi Rail as to whom must win their tenders. You know, restore the social obligations of the State-Owned Enterprises Act, even though they weren't even repealed. Insert the Treaty of Waitangi into the Constitution Act. Raise the age of super superannuation, you know, your retirement pension, that kind of thing, to 67, except for Māori. And that the government should create state-owned and managed retirement homes. That all single benefits be increased by $50 a week. That any non-government organisation receiving even minimal government funding to the tune of $1,000 or more be required to have a 50% gender quota on its governing board. And also, bring back compulsory membership of student associations. Holy cow! That's insane! These people are just totally out of touch with reality. You know, I could spend weeks, seriously, just going over this point by point and try to debunk them. And it's just like, if you argue with insanity, the more you're exposed to it, the more crazy you become. It seems fairly obvious. These people are crazy. Absolutely crazy. You know, there's some things in there that might be of some benefit, like, for example, banning fracking. But to ban seabed mineral mining for minerals of oil and gas, that means we'd have to close down the Maui gas field, which provides New Zealand with almost all of its natural gas. So what you're saying is, okay, now we're going to have to import our natural gas from overseas. You know, that's what these people want. A tax on aquaculture, so that if you've got frickin' oysters or fish or anything that you're actually using to derive some kind of an income on, the government wants a slice of it. And they didn't help in no way, shape, or form to help you get that money. And then and they just wanted to, look, taxation is theft. Let me define this for you. If you were taxed 100%, okay, you went and you earned a wage or whatever, you did a whole bunch of work, and then 100% of that money was taken away. That's called slavery, isn't it? Especially if it's not voluntary, if it's forced upon you. But for some reason, people think that you're not a slave if you pay 30% tax plus 15% tax on every single item that you purchase under goods and services tax. And apparently it's not enough. We also need a mineral tax, and we also need a cell phone tax. There's probably going to be some description of a reproductive organ tax or a fertility tax or a baby tax or a wearing cross trainers tax. Where does it end? It'll end when there is 100% taxation by hook or by crook. That's ultimately the goal here. Slaves on a global plantation. No rights, no private property, no wealth of their own, no freedom, and nobody earns anything. That's essentially the long and the short of it, isn't it? Nobody would want to earn anything because there'd be no point. What there? What in the heck is the insanity? Oh my God, the insanity! And these people want to rule the country, you know. And people think National was bad, and sure enough, they are. And then Labor will come in to save you from this horrible National, and what they give you is even worse. And National came in after Labor previously, saying that that they'll save us from everything, and then it gets even worse. Again and again and again, and they ramp up. It's like they're passing the buck to each other. It's like, no, I am the I'm the tyranny. No, I am the tyranny. You know, it's like some kind of version of Spartacus. You know, everybody wants to admit to being Spartacus, but nobody actually frickin' is. Isn't that interesting? We'll be right back after the break. 218-339-8525. We'll be calling in 218-339-8525.
Look at me driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite, by satellite.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's a Thanksgiving weekend coming up. I don't think anybody's going to call in. I really don't. For some reason, nobody wants to. 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. Two more things that I'm thankful about. my somewhat fabulous producer. I was just starting to get starving. Okay, like usually I'll eat in the mornings. You know, just eat a nice hearty breakfast. But by the time it comes to the end of the show, it's well after lunchtime, sort of thing, and I start to get really, really hungry. And I'm a sizable dude, like 6'4", 106 kilos, kind of thing. I need food. And my producer pulls up with this massive bowl of noodles and barbecue pork mein. And I was also thinking, oh, mate, it'd be really nice to have a beer too. And he bought me two beers, the Crown Lager, incidentally an Australian beer, as we were talking about the Australian and New Zealand relationship. Oh, yeah. Thank goodness for that. Thank you to my somewhat fabulous producer, Mitch Santel. Oh, he'd been with me for years. Barely ever getting paid. I think maybe I paid him once. But the other times, he's always sacrificing everything for me, you know? And it's just brilliant. Totally brilliant. He's such a great mentor, and he cares so much about me. He's like the cheerleader and my wet nurse kind of thing, you know. It's just fabulous. Thank you, Mitch. Okay, now speaking of things to be thankful for, The Hobbit. All right, dig this. Jackson orders Hobbit ban overturned. Director Sir Peter Jackson was mortified to hear that a journalist was blacklisted from covering the Hobbit premiere for writing too many negative stories about the movie. Right, the movie that hadn't even come out yet. Radio New Zealand reporter Kushla Norman had her pass to cover the film premiere reinstated this morning after being told by a publicist for Roadshow Film Distributors she had been cut. The publicist said she had written too many negative stories on the film. Sir Peter and his wife Fran Walsh are both mortified. Wingnut Films spokesperson Matt Dravovetsky told Radio New Zealand this morning, "As I said, the filmmakers, the producers and the studio would never do this to any journalist or ask that credentials be revoked. Radio New Zealand was told another journalist could attend the film, but the public broadcaster said it would not be dictated to and refused to replace Norman at the premiere." So we banned you, then reinstated you, and then they refused to let her out. You know, just this kind of ego-driven kind of Bolshevik, you know. Decision was made this morning for accreditation to be reinstated. Dravitsky said it had not been good publicity for the film. "We think it is an error and certainly a very regrettable one." Now, isn't that interesting that you try to revoke somebody's ability to report on your film because they're giving it really negative reviews, and by not having somebody there giving you heaps of negative reviews, it's somehow bad for the publicity of the film. You've got to be kidding me. "We think this is an error, and certainly a very regrettable one," he said. "That's why we're taking steps to ensure this is remedied immediately." Dravitsky said Wingnut Films would investigate why the journalist had her accreditation withdrawn in the first place. Radio New Zealand head of news Don Rood told — he's actually a member of the Mafia, and he's not very polite, hence Don Rood — told Morning Report Wingnut's statements were encouraging. "Norman had been fair and balanced in her coverage of The Hobbit," he said. "We're not fair and balanced, and mainstream media do not go together. Okay? Kind of like fresh water and cyanide. You know, or fresh water or fresh poison water, you know? Fresh and poison. Beautiful. Isn't that nice? Okay. We're not here to serve publicity companies. We're here to serve the public of New Zealand." Rood said Norman deserved to cover the film premiere and would not be replaced. Kushla is the reporter that was assigned to this story. "She's done a good job on the story. And why would I then seek to double the punishment by saying no, it's someone else's story?" No, Kushla is our reporter. She's done the hard work. She's done the research. She's got the background. She is our reporter that will be covering it. Norman earlier this week covered allegations that animals were mistreated during the filming of the Hobbit trilogy. Oh, and that's another thing that I wanted to get people interested in as well. You go to the featured interviews page of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, you scroll right down to the bottom. right down to the bottom of the featured interviews page of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and there will be an interview there with none other than Grace Hayden, who is a 15-year prosecuting sergeant for the New Zealand Police. Her experience and has gone into private investigation, and she exposed quite poignantly in that interview about the huge amounts of animal rights violations that happened during the making of the first Hobbit series. They used shell corporations that didn't exist to take money from people who thought that they were donating to animal rights welfare or something like that. I can't remember. It was so long ago. But point of which being, after she exposed all this, all of these people fracking closed ranks and basically destroyed her life. You know, heaps of horses, heaps of other animals. I think it might have been just horses that got injured during the makings of the films and things like that. You know how in the end of any film that has animal action in it, you've got that little stamp from the American Humane Society saying no animals were harmed or injured in this film? You'll notice that those are on the credits of Lord of the Rings films 1, 2, and 3 from the Fellowship of the Ring, the Two Towers, and Return of the King. But they didn't actually tell the truth there. There were heaps of them that were harmed during the films, okay? And that's what Grace Hayden exposed. And of course, it doesn't really matter. You know, truth doesn't matter. This is fantasy, isn't it? Honestly, I can't wait to see The Hobbit. It'd be really great. It'd be fun, wouldn't it? I also wanted to have a look at a few more of the articles here. I'm 100% sure which of these ones are about. They're from the New Zealand Herald. Leadership battle shows protagonists' other side. On the first night of Labour's conference, you know, that one that I was just referring to earlier about all that stuff that they want to ban and implement and stuff like that after they wind up getting in there, David Shearer told, he's a UN, former UN employee, okay, and he took the electorate seat of Helen Clark, who became number 3 at the UN after being Prime Minister of New Zealand, and allegedly she's now been promoted, stuff like that. Does anybody see a globalist fracking trail being dragged behind these people like slime following a slug along the ground? David Shearer told the delegates that in all the schools he had visited as an MP, he had not come across one 10-year-old who said it was the life's dream to be the leader of the opposition. Well, no, because people want to be the prime minister, not the leader of the opposition. And it didn't take long for him to find out that although a 10-year-old might prefer to be a firefighter or a trapeze artist, there was one 49-year-old sitting in the audience who very much wanted to be leader of the opposition. The very next day, that person, David Cunliffe, this is an interesting thing. Imagine you're head of a political party, right? And or rather in the top cabinet, and you've been in it for 20-plus years, and you've been an electorate MP voted by the people in your particular area time after time, and you deliver infrastructure for them and all of these kind of things that perhaps a representative should do, and of course in a completely inefficient manner, of course, but regardless, you're in there for that period of time, and then some dude comes in out of frickin' nowhere, suddenly gets himself an electorate seat that was a strong Labour seat which he couldn't frickin' lose, essentially, and then takes the leadership position from you, which you had been budding for those 20 years after your service to the party. That's what's going on here. It's like a coup. Not that Cunliffe would be even better, because, well, I don't know, let me just take a sip of beer and ponder over this for a second. Yep, they're a bunch of power-grabbing wing nuts. Yep, okay, the beer crystallized everything for me. Very next day, that person, David Cunliffe, was quick to remind Shearer of that dream when he first of all successfully pushed for a rule that would allow 40% of caucus to overthrow a sitting leader and then refused to rule out, challenging David Shearer. And this is the other thing as well. It was supposed to wait till the caucus meeting. Look, in politics, there's a whole lot of background stuff that goes on. A whole lot of it's about timing, mostly. So what David was doing, the media were kind of just kind of like, Adam, really kind of constantly just saying, are you challenging the leadership of David Shearer, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, it's not my place to say, okay, before the caucus meeting in February. And I won't mention anything about that. Okay, because I think that he was probably looking at making a bid for the leadership at the caucus meeting. And so, completely against party policy, they hold a freaking caucus meeting anyway, right now, and say, David Cunliffe's trying to challenge us for leadership. Everybody must now pledge support for our UN-loving leader, David Shearer. Or at least this is what I've been led to believe anyway. Actually, not what I've been led to believe, what I just straight out assumed without looking at any of the evidence. That's probably 100%, well, more like 90% correct. Cunliffe is entitled to be smug. The changes to the leadership rules giving members and affiliates a combined 60% of the vote against the caucus 40% were perceived as being in his favour, and the membership showed it wanted nothing more than to use it. Passing that amendment to allow just 40% of caucus to force a leadership contest was a very clear message from the members to caucus with one finger raised. The uprising had begun, and Cunliffe's team had clearly anticipated it. They played it for all their worth, kowtowing to the membership. Is that kowtowing to the membership by refusing to? What the hell is a word named kowtowing? Like, and it's spelled with a K as well. As well, it's not like you're tying a cow to the back of your cow or your ute or something like that on a trailer hitch and towing the cow around. I don't get that. By kowtowing to the membership by refusing to pledge support for Shearer because the new democratic era that had just dawned in the party meant they could not commit until the members' own wishes were clear. Shearer's demotion of Cunliffe. See, this is the thing. Oh, you're challenging me for leadership in accordance with party policy. That's in a completely democratic way and what have you. I'm going to arbitrarily demote you after your 20 years of service to the party, because you challenged my authority. Cunliffe was supposed to cauterize the issue, but for some, it has only intensified the belief that Shearer will not be the mandated leader until the members have been given the chance to bestow the mandate themselves. Following his demotion, Cunliffe fell silent, but did so in a way to ensure he came across as the wounded martyr. He appeared on television and posted on Facebook saying he would dearly love to thank all his supporters, but alas, he was forbidden from doing so. The Facebook posting ensured those supporters had a forum on which to work themselves into a froth of denied ambition on his behalf. There was also a spate of letters to the editor questioning whether Shearer had the mandate. I reckon David Shearer and David Cunliffe should probably get together and have a mandate, you know? Shoot some poos, you know. Cunliffe supporters are now questioning what he did wrong. Given there was no overt leadership challenge, nobody who was actually at that conference could honestly say Cunliffe was innocent of undermining Shearer. He acted shamelessly, apparently completely confident it would all play out in his favour. He took media opportunities which should more appropriately have gone to his leader. There was a profile in The Listener, and while the words might not have the Listener is kind of like the Times or what's the thing, you know, Times Man of the Year, Adolf Hitler kind of thing. That's sort of what The Listener is to New Zealand. And while the words might not have pleased him, the photo showed him looking every inch the leader ascendant. In the same way, North and South, which is another primary magazine here in New Zealand, very prestigious, featured Prime Minister John Key in presidential pose just before he took over from Don Brash. Now, Don Brash was like this dude who headed the National Party before John Key, right? And he was a former Reserve Bank governor responsible for artificially bringing down the interest rates and things like that, which I think I think it basically resulted in the loss of 100,000 jobs just in the New Zealand economy. So naturally, somebody who's capable of destroying that many jobs is obviously the prime candidate to come in and create jobs for people. Right? Without taking the leader's office, Cunliffe also got himself on TV3's current affairs show, The Nation, on Saturday morning of the conference, a slot habitually reserved for a party leader, where he refused to rule out a challenge. At the conference, for 3 days running, he repeatedly refused to rule out a challenge. It's just the thing. If somebody keeps on at you for something that you're trying to keep secret, there's really nothing you can do. It's like a criminal that is above suspicion can quite likely get away with his crimes. But a criminal who is suddenly in any way, shape or form cast suspicion upon, investigated and busted. We'll be right back.
I live in, so don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Dino, I'm not Tina.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. It's now getting into the summer here, and anybody who's watching the videos will notice I've been getting quite horrifically sweaty during the broadcast. It's beautiful. Clearing out the pores and everything like that. I come out looking all fresh and daisy-like. I want to get on to finishing off this article here, and then I'm going to deliver my analysis. Now, when I analyze something, I try to bring in as many elements as I can. In other words, I put the anal into analysis. Sources have also since claimed that on Friday, Cunliffe and his ally Rajan Prasad unsuccessfully tried to stack the ethnic sector council with Cunliffe supporters, including trying to install Cunliffe's electorate committee member Susan Zhu as chairwoman. The ethnic sector group has more than 1,000 members in it and is a potentially rich voting pool for a hopeful leadership contender. The rumour was that the plan was for the ethnic sector group to eventually publicly endorse Cunliffe come the time of a leadership contest. Such was Cunliffe's subtlety, he may as well have hired a plane to fly around the Ellerslie Event Centre, towing a sign that said Cunliffe for leader. As for Shearer, what is now forgotten in the smoke of Cunliffe's tyres is that Shearer went into that conference on the back foot. The forces of instability were conspiring against him from too wide a range of sources to believe it was a conspiracy rather than a widely held belief that Shearer was not up to the job. A politician's the victim of a conspiracy all of a sudden, according to mainstream media? Oh, they must be just a bunch of conspiracy theorists. There was a confluence of bloggers and media commentators, The Standard, Brian Edward, The Herald's Tapu Misa, and TV3's Duncan Gunner, all saying he should go. Yet he managed to stare down what he believed would be a fait accompli in the challenge from Mr. Cunliffe. And while the conference was a disaster on one hand, that possibly only strengthened his leadership in the medium term, his supporters will also be hoping that despite the fury of Cunliffe's closest fans, the conference showed a side of Cunliffe that the wider membership had not seen before, the side that explained why his caucus colleagues have long found it hard to trust him. Despite everything, Tuesday's vote and even next February's confidence vote will make little difference whether Labour's David Shearer is the leader in 2013. The wishes of the membership will also make little difference. The wishes of the membership of a party makes little difference as to who the party leader is. Did I read that correctly? Let me just read that out again. The wishes of the membership will also make little difference. So, if somebody's trying to challenge for the leadership in a political fashion and actually garnering support, he's a conspirator. And if the people want him to be the leader, it makes little difference. Is it any clearer that New Zealand is a dictatorship than right now? In reality, whether David Shearer, Cunliffe, or some other figure altogether as the leader in 2014 will be decided by a far greater force than either caucus, the members or the unions. It will be decided by the polls. Oh, yeah. You mean the Kolmar-Brunson polls? Just like the polls in the United States where they list down the stupid responses dumbass individuals and keep them on file so that whenever they want a political opinion, they only call the dumbest of us and ask them. And they're supposed to decide who the leader is. Is that not dictatorship by the lowest common denominator? Uh-huh. Well, I cannot stress enough how much of a stupid game this entire process is. What a waste of time. What a pointless endeavour by either Labour or Cunliffe or any of these other political siphon viper type individuals. It's pointless even paying attention to them. And allegedly, there was a really low voter turnout in the United States, like 18%. Okay. 18% of the population turned out, or it might have been 18% of those registered to vote. I don't know, and I don't even know if the statistic's real. But it makes a whole lot of sense that the only reason why a brutal illegal wiretapping, Guantanamo Bay opening, war continuing, borrowed more money than all previous presidents combined throughout U.S. history in his first yearing, Barack H. O'Barry, gets re-elected by a minority of idiots who still think there's actually a frickin' choice. Okay, am I the only one that sees this? Can't be. And apparently most of the rest of the population must see this too. Hence why they didn't frickin' vote. There's no point. However, if you don't vote, then you're simply doing nothing. So you've got tyranny fracking your country up and you do nothing about it? It's not like voting will do anything. How many days did you go out protesting? How many videos did you make? How many radio shows and mainstream talk radio did you call in to say that the presidential race was an absolute pile of BS and it's steaming crapola that it is? How much influence did you attempt to exert on your local people by telling them that this is a fraud, a scam, a game, a sideshow with jugglers and freaks and what have you, jumping all over the stage trying to keep you encapsulated with their meaningless acrobatic stylings of propaganda? How many did that? I'm betting a hell of a lot more people voted than the people who actually spoke out against how corrupt the voting system is. People who do not resist are giving their fracking consent. Okay? I'm not saying vote, because I don't see that will work, because you have to have the majority or whatever. A majority of what? Majority of frickin' idiots who are easily enough led by a messianic scumbaggery individual who cares nothing of you and has no history of actually doing anything right for really anybody, with the exception of giving you an Obama phone. You know, it's stupid. And it's Thanksgiving. Thank you, Barack Obama, for being elected and messing everybody around. Hey, surprisingly, we have a caller, 607 area code, new caller, first name, and your and what state are you calling from?
This is John from New York.
Oh,
I've been listening to you, and I felt sorry that no one else would call in to you.
Well, at least I get the sympathy vote.
No, I just I wanted to let you know that I voted. I can't vote for either one of these parties. I voted for the third party candidate, and I think that most Americans, well, a lot of Americans right now are voting with their wallet by purchasing bullets and guns, because we know exactly where this is going.
Mm-hmm. But are they using those bullets and guns on the appropriate people already? Are they like the Black Panthers who showed up to unlawful arrests of black individuals in Harlem and things like that, showing up armed and pointing weapons at the police officers and preventing them from beating them up and violating their rights and arresting them unlawfully?
Well, obviously, I mean, I don't know what the breaking point's going to be, but I feel it boiling over right now. Obviously, you know, with only 18% of Americans voting, they know that the banks have basically taken us all over, you know. And as soon as this system crashes and complete anarchy takes place, I see a huge cleansing taking place.
You know what? You may be right, you may be wrong, but here's the interesting element to think about. Why are you waiting for a breaking point?
Because I think that Americans on the whole are pretty decent people. I don't see us wanting to do it. I mean that's the last straw, obviously, you know, and when it comes down to it, we're just good people, and I mean, the last Civil War was horrible, you know, and I don't think that we necessarily want to do that. That's why I think we're also going to a lot of states are trying to secede. You know, we're trying to exhaust every last effort before we actually do what obviously probably has to be done.
You know what? I think this parallels what happened before the American War of Revolution. Telling the king, we don't want your tyranny. Begging the king, please don't be tyrannical to us. And finally, they had to show the king that we weren't his slaves. What are we going to show them now? What are they going to show us? John in New York, thank you very much for your call, bro. Colston, you're on the line there as well. You can join us in the Skype chat after the show, ladies and gentlemen. Go to the just add me on Skype. Vincent.Eastwood is my Skype name. If you add me on Skype and say you'd like to join the social chat, we're going to start that pretty much right away after the broadcast ends in about 30 seconds time. So just basically add me on Skype, ring me, Vincent.Eastwood is my Skype name, and we'll talk to you then, and we'll see you after my holiday, basically, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be away for about a week and a half. We'll see you then.